All right. Y'all, Pastor Larry Wilkins, or as I like to call him, Pastor Larry Wilkins. He is one of my favorite people on the planet. How many of you know Pastor Larry? Raise your hand. Yeah. How many of you don't? It's okay. It's okay. He's going to be one of your favorite people when we're done. He just brings this authentic, passionate, full beard to the platform every time he comes. Now, man, his heart before the Lord is so tender and so open. And I'm just, again, this is for people that don't know him. I'm just helping you kind of be ready to receive. I don't know very many people that are willing to just say to God, whatever. But you are one of those people. And I know it comes at a cost, right? And so thank you for just being willing to come and bleed on us, right? It's okay. Like, you just come, pour out what God gave you. Man, we're so ready to receive it. I couldn't think of a better person to have here. You know, we're doing a series called From Pierce to Power, and I told Pastor Larry, like, you don't have to make what you talk about fit in that series, but just this environment that we're in of saying to God, like, yes, things break us, but you're taking us somewhere where we will have your power for the world, right? And so, man, he's the perfect person to have during this series, because that's kind of like your story, and I've been honored to watch it. So would you guys, why don't you stand up on your feet and welcome Pastor Larry to the platform. Yeah, it's good to have you here.
Wow, guys, thank you. Thank you very much. You guys have a seat or stay standing. I don't care, you know. Thank you, Pastor Paul and Miss Wendy. It's a beautiful church, you guys. And I mean that sincerely. It's just a really beautiful church. Usually, almost always, the congregation is a reflection of the pastor and his wife. You guys are beautiful. You're fun to be around with. That's Miss Wendy's beautiful, and Paul's fun to be around with. So you guys have that combination. Our church just likes potlucks a lot. So I think that's Glenda's fault that they like potlucks so much. That was a bad. That was supposed to be funny. Let's try it again. Our church, this is not you guys, our church just like potlucks a lot. That's better. My wife's name is Glenda. That's her fault that they like potlucks so much. Felt dead twice, Pastor Paul. All right. I don't want to lose the connection between worship and what we're about to say, because God really is, like, in a deep way, in a profound way, trying to say something to you. And he's trying to hook you in. And he's so generous. He doesn't force stuff on us. He just gives us opportunities. And don't miss this opportunity. I was in college, and there's a professor, one of my favorite people. And he said, I will never forget this. He said, it is possible to starve while you're in the grocery store. It's possible to come to church and not get anything out of it, and God could be ministering the entire time right to you. So come in with that openness, and whatever there's a blockage that's there, just lay it down, surrender it, and say, God, just change me, whatever it takes. So he's definitely has something for you today. Appreciate the worship. I'm always open to worship going and taking over, and if I don't preach, it's okay. Worship's my favorite part, and God can do more by his spirit in worship than I could do in 100 sermons. So worship is fantastic. I love worship. Anyone wants to love worship in the house? I know there's some people in here who love worship. See, there's some people who love the Word of God, and it's funny. We have a tendency to love one or the other, like not love one or the other, but to have a lean towards one. And so if I have my time with the Lord, I'll open my Bible, or somebody else has their time with the Lord, they'll turn some music on. And they have that lean. I would encourage you to try to lean the other direction if you're like that. Because God wants to use both those things, like two wings on a plane, to really impact your life. You'll be surprised what he has. If you really love worship, you might be surprised what he has in the Word for you. If you really love the Word, you might be surprised what he has in worship for you. So what's it going to take this morning? The worship, which was powerful, meaningful, and what was spoken afterwards. And we're going to take the sermon and the Word of God. Like two wings on that plane this morning, God has something for all of us to process here. So I don't get a chance to speak here very often, as often as I would like to. I enjoy being here, maybe twice a year. I think it's actually, ironically, my daughter is with me. She actually didn't come this morning to hear me preach. She came to sit by Sarah Almond. That's why she's here. But it's her birthday tomorrow. She'll be 15. And it's funny because last year we were here on her birthday. So just almost exactly a year ago that we were with you guys. And she wanted me to mention, no, she didn't say that. She got $40 last year. This is a year of increase, amen? So she got $40 from you guys at the gathering last year for her birthday. I wanted to come because I don't have very many opportunities. I wanted to come and bring something light and encouraging. So we're going to talk about suffering this morning. And actually, more specifically, long-suffering. And it seems ironic because the word that we heard after worship was God's bringing us out of suffering and into light, out of away from brokenness into healing. And so I'm over there, I'm like, Lord, you said long-suffering, and now we're going to talk about how quick we're getting out of this thing, you know? But it's actually fitting perfectly because the long-suffering is actually what creates a short-suffering. If we were talking about running a marathon, how long is a marathon? Too long. Amen. And I was here to tell you that the Holy Spirit has a gift for you, a fruit for you called long running. And he will empower you to long run distances with no effort of your own. How much shorter would that race seem? Right? And I'm here to tell you there's long suffering that is a fruit of the Spirit of God inside of us that will allow us to shorten the suffering. It'll allow us to endure the process that he has us in so that the suffering doesn't come from us. It actually empowers us, and so he enables us to go through this thing that we're going through. But the thing that we're going through has purpose. So he can't just remove the thing we're going through because there's a purpose attached to the end of it that's greater than you and greater than me, because there's a whole community out here that's lost and needs Jesus. Whatever you're going through isn't about you. Just look at your neighbor and say, it's not about you. I know it feels like it's about you because we're self-centered people. And so the pain that I'm feeling feels like it's about me. But if you remind yourself there's a bigger picture than just you. And gosh, what an amazing idea that God is taking an entire congregation through something. So the prayer isn't, Father, shorten the process, even though that's what we want to pray. But the process has a purpose. And so what we're actually saying is, Father, give us strength to endure so the process feels shortened. But the process is still in place. There's a world that needs that. When you start praying for revival and sincerely seeking him for it, he doesn't just turn a light switch on and then all of a sudden there's revival. If that was the case, we'd be living in it all the time. Do you know how many churches and people have prayed for revival in America over the last 100 years? Lots. There's a process attached to that prayer. And there's something that happens when people endure through a process and then they have something to offer those on the outside. And the unbeliever sees the believer go through something and they watch even from a distance and they say, what they're going through would have destroyed me. But what they're going through is actually increasing the belief inside of me there's something greater than me on this planet, and it draws them to you, draws them to Jesus. He's not just doing it in one person's life. That's my understanding this morning. As God's word to the entire congregation, he's bringing you out of brokenness into life. And he can do that in the middle of the process. Galatians 5:22-23. This is in the King James Version. I like to use the King James because that's the version Jesus used. Amen? Galatians 5:22-23. King James Version says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. We're more familiar, more acquainted with the fruit of love as a topic of conversation. We're more familiar with the topic of joy. We're more familiar with the topic of peace and kindness and gentleness. When it comes to long-suffering, that's just kind of when we kind of skip over. And what does long-suffering mean? Well, the most elementary version is, well, it means to suffer long. I grew up in Pentecostal church. I mean, my earliest memories of people laid out on the floor and teenagers, you know, they'd sing this song when I was a kid. You probably never heard it because I grew up in the north, and they had weird songs. I found out later when I moved down here. But there was a song that they sang called I Will Dance Like David Danced. Did you guys ever sing that? Are you all from up north? Whoever just said yes, we're up from north. I will dance I like David Dance, and that was a great song in our church. Our band would start playing it, the worship would go. I mean, I was probably 5 or 6 years old. And I remember teenagers and kids would go through grab their friend out of the pew, and they'd go over to the side here where there was some space, and they'd start dancing in a circle like David would dance, like a Jewish type of style of dance. And it was so awesome. And sometimes we were the last ones to leave because my mom was laid out on the floor under the Holy Ghost, and we're just sitting there waiting for mom to get up, you know. Like, I've grown up in this Pentecostal thing, and so the majority of my perspective when it comes to suffering has been that we just probably, almost like we need to ignore it or not really acknowledge that it's there. Because he's given us victory over things, and that's 100% true. And he answers our prayers, and he died on the cross, and he suffered for us, and so we wouldn't have to suffer. And there's truth to all of that. But what happens when the prayers that you're praying for that healing or for that situation aren't answered right away? There are some situations that require, in fact, it's so significant that the Holy Spirit said, I will have to empower you. If suffering isn't something that the church has to encounter, that we have to deal with for a long period of time sometimes, he wouldn't have given us the fruit of long-suffering. So I think there's maybe two, I'm not going to get all the nuances of that topic, but on one side of the ditch, we don't have to suffer ever. Now, the other side is we're always suffering. And how are you doing today? Well, I'm just enduring. I'm just going through. I'm just, like, this defeatist mentality. Like, we're always just struggling. And there's this war, and I'm in the middle of it. There's somewhere in the middle that we can aim for. And when we find yourself in that spectrum, we can aim for something in the middle where we are going through, but what we're going through doesn't become my identity, and it doesn't become his identity. But also at the same time, we're not just ignoring the fact that we're suffering. So he gives us this tool through his Spirit. I love the fruits of the Spirit because it's not the fruits of my pastor. This turns some people sometimes, but it's not even the fruit of Jesus Christ. I can be saved and on my way to heaven and not have the fruit of long-suffering in my life. Or the fruit of love and joy and peace. Yeah, I know some people, trust me. You guys know anybody who could use more fruit in their life? I'll be the first one to raise my hand. I need that. I need the Holy Spirit in my life. Long-suffering. But long-suffering in Scripture, and we'll read a bunch of Scriptures here in a second, but long-suffering in Scripture is partnered with mercy and hope and comfort. The topic of suffering and long-suffering is not the suffering. That's not the focal point. There's mercy and there's hope and there's comfort that accompanies that. And that's where we're aiming for. We're aiming for the mercy. When do we need mercy and long-suffering? When it's something someone else has done to me, I need mercy. Mercy is required on my behalf in order for me to long suffer correctly. In order for me to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, I need mercy to forgive the person who hurt me. Hope for a future. Long suffering does not have this end game in mind or have this some sort of a defeatist mentality, but there's a hope attached to it. And a knowing that God is going to take us through and that things that whatever this has required of us, it's going to be worth it in the end. We can't see the full picture yet, but I know that God is good. Comfort. See, here's a topic. Suffering. When it comes to suffering, we could talk about children, we could talk about business or finances or careers, and that'd be a kind of scattered parenting. But suffering is something we can all relate to. Some more than others. There might be some folks that are sitting here, and up to this point in your life, you're just like, I really haven't encountered that much. God bless you. That is huge. But don't discount what we're saying today. Put it on a shelf someplace and hold on to it because we're not living on a perfect planet, y'all. If we were in heaven, we wouldn't have to talk about this, would we? Heaven is the perfect place. We're on this stinky planet for a little while. And while we're on this planet, imperfect things happen. People hurt us. People that we trusted hurt us. Maybe the people who were supposed to be the ones that protected us were the ones that hurt us. Not God's fault. This isn't a reflection of his will. this earth is a reflection of man's will, man's choices. And God wants to reverse that. He wants to bring his will to earth. That's what he wants to do, on earth as it is in heaven. That's where we come into play. That's where the process comes into play. And now there's a church that's going through something. There's an anointing that's squeezing out of that church and out into the streets. That's God's desire for heaven to come to earth. But until we're in heaven, we're still going to be on this earth. It's an imperfect place. But he offers in the midst of this imperfectness, if you're going through suffering in this very moment, you can 100% understand you are going through something right now in your life. You get exactly what I'm talking about. And then there's others who have been through the process or standing on the other side of it. No matter where you are today, God wants to use you where you are, and he wants to use you where he's taking you to help other people go through that process as well. Sometimes suffering is kind of small. Use the small moments as training for the larger moments. When I think of small suffering, I think of a flat tire on the way to an important appointment. You know, a car breaks down or something. It's frustrating, but use that moment to stand in faith and not get frustrated. Use that moment to trust the Lord through that. What are some other small sufferings you can think of? A bad haircut? All the time. You need long suffering for that one, brother. Have you ever had someone hurt your feelings a little bit? And then you dwell on it? And you think about the conversation again? And you think about what you've done for them in the past? And how much you've blessed them, and how much you've given them, and forgiven them, and that thing grows, and it grows, and grows. Use those small moments of suffering. Use the small, uncomfortable moments when someone cuts you off. That's a time for you to practice. When something happens at work, your pastor says something you don't agree with, use that opportunity. Those little moments will prepare you for the bigger moments. It's just training ground. And sometimes we're not ready for the big moments because we've kind of missed it on the small ones. All right. So we have a list of, and the guys in the back there have this list, and so we're going to go through some scripture verses. I want you guys to see the hope, the mercy, and the comfort attached to the long-suffering process, okay? So that we're not left alone just to suffer, but we're actually left with the empowering of the Holy Spirit to endure through something. So this is going to go through 2 Corinthians chapter 1, if you have your notes, or if you're taking notes, and if you're not taking notes, you really should, every Sunday. It's such a good idea. I know we kind of got away from that. When I was growing up, everyone took notes. You know? How many of you guys have, when you go to work, you have a boss? Anybody? How many of you are married? I'm just kidding. Times when my boss would call me into his office, guess what I would grab? A piece of paper and a pencil. And gosh, if I didn't, I mean, I 9 times out of 10, you just had it in your hand and didn't end up using it, but it showed him that you valued what he was about to say. And we hold and retain things better when we write them down. And they look at them again in a couple weeks and read over, maybe before next Sunday, or look back at last Sunday, what God spoke to me last Sunday. And man, it's just a good practice. It helps things stick a little better. It just shows God that you value what he's about to say. 2 Corinthians 1, 5 through 7. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we were abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort. You see how it's about us, but then it's about you? It's about us, but then it's about them. We're going through this, but it's going to benefit someone else. That's what he's saying. Which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken. For we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. Sounds like they've been going through some things, and then they were able to tell some of the young Christians, I know you're going through some hard times. But let me tell you that there's comfort along with the hard times. The hard times in the scriptures were a lot harder than our hard times, too. You know, so we can kind of put that into perspective as well. They weren't talking about someone cutting them off or a bad haircut. They weren't talking about getting offended by their neighbor or, You know, this is, I mean, the real hard, I mean, real stuff was happening to them. 1 Peter 4:16. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. Philippians 3, verse 10. That I may know him. Everyone say that I may know him. There's some people that I spent some time with, I got to know a little bit, and I trusted them less than I thought I should. You know, at first I was like, oh, okay. But then you spend some time with them, and you're like, oh, find out I can't trust them. There's other people you spend some time with, you find out, man, these are really, I can trust these people. But I discovered that through relationship. And that's what this is saying. Like, this is so powerful that I may know him. Is actually a very important part of the long-suffering process. Or in other words, let me rephrase it, a personal walk with the Lord. A relationship with him. He desires a relationship with us. That blows my mind. You know, because God is like, he's God. And he has everything. He owns everything. And he has desires. And one of those desires is time with me. He wants to know me. And he wants me to know him. It's actually the greatest thing he has to offer us is himself. Yeah. Of all the things that we could pray for, and there's a lot of important things to pray for. But one of the greatest things, or the greatest thing he has to offer, is just himself. That I may know him. Because when I know him, I can trust him. And trusting that I'm in this process and that he's going to carry me through is a big part of being empowered to do this thing. This is powerful. This is, again, I want to connect it with the worship part and what Pastor Paul had to say when he came up. This God is closing out one thing and bringing you guys into another. And I think this is an important part of it. This is why I'm here today. And not last Sunday or next Sunday. And that's why the worship team did sing the songs they sang. And the anointing that was here today. And the reason that the words were shared that were shared afterwards. Because God wants you to have the power through his spirit to endure the things this life has to throw at you. So you can be empowered to overcome not just your life, but the darkness around you. This is significant for the gathering. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Romans 8:18, 2 Timothy 1:8. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but share in the suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Romans 8:18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. In this you rejoice, though, 1 Peter 1:6. Though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. They're just temporary. Philippians 1:29, this is the last one. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ you should not only believe in him, but also suffer. For his sake. Suffering comes in many forms. You know, Paul, in the New Testament, he confessed that he had a thorn in his flesh. And ever since he put that on paper, there's been a debate. What is the thorn in his flesh? Please don't come up to me afterwards and tell me what you think the thorn in his flesh is, because we're just guessing. We're just guessing. But the reason that there's so many different opinions is because when he says there's a thorn in his flesh, that tells us he's in pain. He's hurting. And we don't know if he means there's an actual physical, like maybe he was walking through the woods and got a splinter that big, you know. Maybe there was a physical, like his hip really hurt. Maybe it was more of an emotional thorn. Maybe he struggled with sin. These are all things that we guess him, but we know he was hurting. And it was something he just couldn't quite shake. The reason there's so many different ideas and theories about what that thorn was is because suffering comes in so many different forms. It can be something that someone does to us. It can be I've done something to someone, and the shame and the guilt of that has eaten me up. It can be the betrayal of a loved one. It can be the loss of a loved one. The list goes on and on. The opportunity for suffering is it comes in just a thousand different ways. I lost my job at just the wrong time, right after we had made this purchase, and then this, and now we're going through, and my wife left me, and she went with this, and she's suffering. I mean, there's just so many opportunities for it in this world. But long-suffering only comes in one form. The ability, the empowerment to overcome and to endure through that process comes one way. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. The fruit of the Spirit. That means we spend time with him and he produces fruit in us. I spend time with him and inside of me something grows called peace. I spend more time with him and something grows inside of me called love. And all of a sudden I have this weird ability just to care and love for people all around me. But I recognize it's not because I'm trying really hard. I recognize it's because he's in me doing something. I have been through stages of my life of little to no patience for my children to great patience for my children. And I can tell you the factor is the Holy Spirit in my life. That's what changed. And it wasn't me producing more patience. In fact, when I was at my lowest amount of patience, I was trying my hardest to be patient. When it was his patience inside of me, it was me trying my least to be patient. When it's his love, it's not me trying to love people anymore. It's just him doing it. It's his fruit. When I try to love people, I fail. If I have to try to muster this up and white-knuckle my way through something, there's a limit. There's an end to how much I can love and how much I can suffer and how much I can endure and how much peace I can generate inside of me. And there's an end to how much I can do all that, but there's no end to him and how much he can generate inside of us. This concept of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, including the ability to endure things, the strength and the empowerment to go through something that makes it seem as if I'm going through nothing. Again, if he was going to call it long running, I would just be jogging down the road all happy. You know, there's some people that run, they're crazy. I see people running all the time in Alabama. I feel so sorry for them. Nothing better to do. And they like it. They're happy running. For them, it's not a chore. It's not meant to be as easy. They enjoy the process. If we don't need a long running, it wouldn't hurt me to have a long running gift or a fruit in my life. But what I really need is a long suffering fruit in my life. That's what I need. And then in the midst of what we're going through, guys, we're suffering. In the midst of what we're going through at any given moment, we have the ability to forgive those who have betrayed us. We have the ability to hope for the best to come out of this. And we have the ability to be comforted by the Holy Spirit no matter what we're going through. Coming to church on Sunday mornings does not produce all in and of itself the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. There is an intimacy he desires with you that you can't do in this room with other people around you. There's an intimacy in personal relationships that you desire with your spouse. There are times when I go on a date with my wife because I don't want the kids. There's an intimacy I want to have with her at the dinner table at a restaurant without the kids asking 500 questions. Amen? We just need, like, there's degrees of intimacy, and he was calling us, and guys, man, if you've been through it or you're in the middle of something, you know there is nothing like the brokenness and the humbling that comes with suffering. Jesus can relate to it. It's kind of weird to think this, but did you know that Jesus didn't always agree with God? Remember in the garden, he said, not my will, but yours. He didn't agree with God. He said, that's not what I want to do. nope, don't want it. But he got to a place, he said, all right, he broke. He said, and that prayer, in that time of prayer in that garden, when he wept and he prayed and he would bleed through his sweat pores, blood would come through, he sweat so much, just he would sweat blood. I would submit to you that that's where Jesus died. Not the physical death, but that's where he surrendered, in that garden. That when he, that the man who was being whipped was already dead. He'd already given it all in that garden. The piercing on the cross may have begun with a process in the garden where he said, I will give you all of my life and I see what's in front of me. And I see what you're asking me to do. I don't want to do it, Father, but I trust you. And then the funny thing happened is the Bible tells us that he endured the process of all of that because of the joy that was set before him. What did Jesus see? I wish I knew. I mean, let's talk about that. Forget about Paul's thorn. What did Jesus see? That when he saw it, allowed him to see past the cross, past the whips, past the carrying of the cross up of the hillside, past the piercing on the cross, past the thorns being set. He saw past all of that. He saw something else, and the joy of that thing carried him. I don't. Did he see masses of people being saved? I don't know. Like going to heaven. Did he just see the pleasure of the Father, and that was enough for him? I don't know. I like to think that he saw me and you getting free of the bondages of this planet, free from the slavery of sin that we were in. He saw that process in me, and he saw me preaching the gospel, and he smiled a little bit. A little sparkle of joy came into his heart in that garden. He saw Albemarle lost. Then he saw a church rise up, and he smiled. A little spark of joy came up, and he began to look and see. I don't know what he saw, but he saw something that changed his perspective, and he said, I see beyond what I'm going through right now, and that's what we need. The ability to look beyond what we're going through right now and trust that what we're ending up at is going to be worth it. And this is how we do that, guys. And I'll cut this shorter here. Because this is why we can trust God. Because God's nature is all love. There's nothing in him that's not love. And so we can trust his motive. For us, his motive for me is pure love. I can trust his motive. And what I'm going through right now, I'm not talking about when you're in rebellion, you're living a life of rebellion, and you're setting yourself up for all kinds of suffering. I'm talking about you're walking with your head towards the Lord. Your eyes are on him, and you're doing your best to follow him. And things happen. You go through stuff. And you know that his love for you is pure. He'll carry you through. He'll, you know, and I just described the rebellion. He'll carry you through that stuff too. When you turn your life around to God, he'll carry you through all the mess you made too. He'll help you with that stuff. He's all knowing. He's all love. That's his nature. He can't be anything else. He's all knowing, so you can trust his perspective. He knows what happens before, right now, and later. 5, 10, 15 years eternally, he knows. We can trust his motives because he's all love. We can trust his perspective because he's all knowing. He knows some things I don't know about my situation. I can trust him that what's going on is for the best. And he's all powerful. So I can trust his instruction. That means I can walk in obedience. In the process that I'm in. He's all love, he's all knowing, and he's all powerful. Let's stand up across this room if you would, please. Let's just pray before I finish. Everyone just close your eyes across the room. And we're just going to seek the Lord. Through a time of prayer. This is a chance just to be honest with yourself, and not to me, but to Him. Father, I don't know what you're doing here. We're only allowed to see what you show us. I don't see the fullness of it. Pastor Paul probably sees more than anybody here. I don't know exactly what you have in store, but Father, I know that we need you for it. I know that whatever you want to accomplish through the gathering and in this city, I know we need you for it. I need you, Father. I don't know what you want to do, the fullness of what you want to do in my family. But I know this, I need you for it. I don't know how this is going to end up with my children. But I know this, I need you for it. I don't know how this scenario in my life is going to end up, but I know this, I can trust you with it. Lift our hands all across the sanctuary. It's just the international sign of surrender and just a way of letting Him know that you give everything to Him. Let go of all that you've been holding on to and giving it all to Him. Let's just posture our hearts in that place. Father, I pray for an outpouring of long suffering into this congregation. The strength to endure the process of revival. That by your Spirit on each individual life, you would empower them to not just suffer through the suffering, but to have grace and to have peace and to have mercy and hope and to be comforted in the middle of it, so that it is an effortless process as you pour into their lives. Not that things are automatically perfect, but they find the one who is perfect in the middle of all the chaos, and the storm just seems to go away. The sleeplessness goes away in Jesus' name. The tormenting dreams go away in Jesus' name. The restlessness and the fear and the wonderings and the wanderings of a mind that imagines the worst, it all goes away in the presence of God. And the impact that it's having on your relationships around you, all of a sudden, I declare that there's a peace in relationships around us. Our marriages are intact. They are secure in the presence of God. Nothing will shake this church. The gates of hell shall not prevail. I declare it over the families in this room, and I declare it over the gathering, an outpouring of long suffering to endure the process. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.